This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Okay, into the second hour here in Colac this morning at the Farmer's Sun here in the main strip. And a bit of activity, lots of cars going backwards and forwards. It's a bit confusing because there's a sort of mirror directly outside and it looks like there's cars driving down the wrong side of the road from where I'm sitting. It's a bit unnerving. Coming up this hour, we'll be speaking to James Taylor from the Surf Coast Times, who's no doubt got plenty of updates from federal campaigning. We'll also be speaking to the Colac Chamber of Commerce. Mark Cherry, the executive officer down there, is going to be joining us. But now, first up, it is the Labor candidate for Corangamite, which is still technically the federal electorate that we are standing in today, even though after the election, this will be in the electorate of Wannon. But Libby, good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you.
And you'd be very familiar with this area from campaigning down here in 2016 and also back when you ran for Polwarth. So it's an interesting little town or city, Colac.
I think Colac's got great potential. I think it is really the town that borders the agricultural sector, and it has the potential now with the Princess Highway right on the doorstep there with duplication. It's going to make it really add to the prosperity of the town.
Now, talking about the budget, of course, that's the big news, and Labor and the opposition have had about a week to criticise, to scrutinise, to have a look at the budget. So how do you respond to the budget that was brought down on Tuesday night?
I think that the budget is put the forecast of a surplus ahead of many things that people need. I was particularly disappointed to see that there's been an underspend on the NDIS, and it is on the basis that $1.6 billion in underspend, and I think that is really disappointing. There is a huge unmet need for people to receive services, disability services, and Labor will uncap the Liberals' cap on staffing to ensure that we do provide the services that people need in disability. So that was one particular area that I was quite disappointed in. I also think that there needs to be much more investment back into schools, back into hospitals. These are the things that support people in their daily lives. Unlike the budget of the coalition, Labor will invest $2.3 billion into Medicare treatment, cancer treatment, and we will also provide the same and better tax breaks to people, particularly those on under $40,000 have been left out in the cold by the government. Instead, we will be providing a tax break for these people, as well as things like $440 million for TAFE and apprenticeships. And also, importantly for me, the ABC will be given extra money and investment into regional broadcasting.
So what are the issues with the NDIS? You talk about the underfunding and staff capping, and we heard about that on the Q&A program last night. What sort of things are you hearing on the ground from people, potential constituents of Corangamite, in terms of their dealings with the NDIS, and how could those issues be cleared up or resolved if there was more funding?
I've been speaking to many people about, as I knock on doors, about the NDIS. What I'm hearing is that people are having their services capped, which is making it difficult to access additional what they need. I also believe that the information that people are getting in terms of what they can access and the process and being given good advice when they need it is not happening, but also that the carers themselves, that the funding for travel is not sufficient. So it is having implications for people with disabilities living in remote and regional areas.
You talk about the funding for health and education, which seems to be a recurring theme, and Bill Shorten said that this budget was the last opportunity for the government to reverse cuts to health and education. Sarah Henderson says no, the funding for those services has gone up. So who's right in this instance?
We need to go back to Tony Abbott when he, before the last federal election, when there was an agreement by both Labor and Liberal that we would fund schools sufficiently. At the moment, government schools funding is insufficient. They're struggling, and we need to put more back into that system. We know that $14 billion was cut from the system under the Abbott government, and that money has never been restored. Labor will stick to its original commitment to fund government schools adequately. We know that there are many teachers who struggle in classrooms to provide the level of education to a wide range of different abilities in a classroom. Labor will ensure that there is adequate funding for teachers, support staff, integration aides and resources. We know that in the first 5 years also that young people really do well with the right level of education. So the first time ever, Labor will invest in kindergartens, ensuring that Year 4 kinder is funded in a permanent way, which is not the case under the Liberals, but also the all year children aged 3, they will now be able to access Year 3 kinder. It will be subsidised by a Labor government. I know that for many families who are facing rising cost of living and flatlining of wages, historically low wages, that Year 3 kinder is something that they decide not to participate in, which I think is an indictment on this government. We cannot forget the youngest in our community.
In terms of what you were saying about the cancer patients and the issues around some of the costs that they incur with diagnostics and imaging, the Health Minister, Greg Hunt, has come out this morning and has said that Labor's plan isn't going to work. Apparently the doctors have said that it's not always going to be possible to bulk bill some of these services. So I'm just wondering, how much has this plan been worked through, and how confident are you that it can be delivered so that people who are suffering, who are doing it tough in a very challenging time, don't have more out-of-pocket expenses?
I do believe that there are currently out-of-pocket expenses, even for people in who are going through Medicare. We've heard in the news just over the last day or so about that. So Labor has a very comprehensive plan that will ensure that we give people who have cancer the ability to not suffer financial expense out-of-pocket, and can focus on actually dealing with facing cancer. We know that there's a very high number of people in Australia who either have cancer themselves or know someone who has had cancer and relies on that treatment. So we will ensure that that we provide a level of service for cancer sufferers which we've never seen before. This is a groundbreaking announcement.
Now, can I ask you about moving on to other issues, climate policy? First of all, the protesters that attacked Scott Morrison, or took over Scott Morrison's address yesterday, said that they wanted this to be a climate election. Do you think this election that is coming up will be a climate election?
I believe that this government has turned its back on climate action. It is really important. We do have a climate emergency, and we need to invest in renewables immediately. We need to ensure that ARENA is given the funding it requires to encourage investment in renewables by industry. We know that it will deliver jobs, but importantly what it will do, it will ensure that we reduce our carbon emissions. Labor has committed to a reduction in carbon emissions by 45% at 2030, and that we will have 50% of all energy will come from renewables by 2030. We've also made an announcement about electric vehicles. Now, we've seen some negative feedback from Scott Morrison and others about electric vehicles, but I'm really quite stunned that Scott Morrison is unaware about his own policy. For example, he was making criticism that, it's impossible to charge a car in 8 to 10 minutes, and yet It was revealed in Senate estimates yesterday that the Coalition's own policy includes electric vehicles, and that the government has funded $6 million towards charging stations to enable people who are pulling in to plug in can actually do so in 10 minutes. So the government has funded electric vehicle chargers that can do this themselves. So I was quite stunned at that criticism. I do believe that electric vehicles, it is quite possible for us as a nation to have 50% of new cars that are bought to be electric by 2030. They are cheaper to run. By mid-20s, they will be far more affordable to purchase, and that there are incentives, if we look at Norway, that have been put in place to ensure that people see them as attractive. For example, tollways being cheaper for those who have electric cars. And, you know, there can be spin-offs from this. Perhaps we can look at what we can do in terms of the electric vehicle industry, how we can actually get into the game of manufacturing parts, perhaps. We do need to begin to be a nation. The move towards electric vehicles is important. Other countries are doing it. China's investing in it. We need to do it if we want to be ahead of the pack rather than behind.
Do you think this area will also take up electric cars? I mean, the electorate of Corangamite is quite large, and there's a lot of space in terms of distances between some of the key towns. I mean, you must notice it yourself, driving all of those kilometres to talk to all of the communities from the Ballerine to pretty much where we are today. Do you think that this area will take up electric cars at that 50% level eventually, or is this more of a policy for the people in the city that travel shorter distances?
I think people across Corangamite understand that if we don't do something about climate change and act now, we are not going to be in a good place in the future. This is about ensuring that our children have an environment that is healthy, and we don't have the fires, we don't have the flood that we're currently experiencing in this nation. So Corangamite, the people of Corangamite are very committed to climate change action, and I believe that they will, with the right incentives, will embrace electric vehicles. And I also would like to announce or mention our announcement around a community power hub.
Yes, could you explain how that works?
Yeah, so there's going to be a number of community groups that are already established, environment groups, between Apollo Bay and across the Bellarine. Each of those different groups have a project. Now, projects range from wind turbines to solar on rooftops to reduce energy costs, and there's also opportunity for others to put in submissions for funding of projects that will reduce our carbon footprint, help reduce energy bills. And what it will mean is that we are working from the grassroots level up. Not only will we have policy in place to support industry investment in our region and jobs growth in the renewable sector, we are also working to encourage people at a very much a grassroots community level to take on projects to achieve outcomes that reduce our carbon footprint. So we're actually committing to up to $10 million in this region to work with community under the title of BRACE, and work with community groups to drive renewable energy and reduction in carbon footprint.
A couple of things to finish up with. First of all, fast rail. The federal government's made a bit of an announcement about that with a lot of fanfare here in Geelong. And from what I understand, the commitment is mostly bipartisan. Is that right? So regardless of who people vote for, they will still get that funding towards fast rail?
My view with Fast Rail is that that announcement was exceptionally disappointing. Fast Rail is absolutely important for people who commute from Corangamite via Geelong to Melbourne. I think that it is something that all of Corangamite would welcome. But the fact that there is only a small sum in the budget for the next 4 years, $50 million, is not going to get this fast rail started. It's very disappointing to see that a budget forecast has really meant that we've had to, that this government has not put in adequate funds to make this project or even commence the project in the next 4 years. So it's exceptionally underdone, and we need to look at the budget and review it if elected. But certainly I'm advocating hard to ensure that we move to begin a fast rail as soon as possible. But obviously Anthony Albanese will need to review the funding regime. It's certainly inadequate to begin. There's no way you can begin with the level of funding straight after the election. And I think that's what people want now. They don't want a government that just talks about things, and they want a government that actually does what it says it's going to do. And that's what Labor will do if elected. Yep. I think that we also find the same with the Geelong Rail duplication. It's really important. Labor's committed to matching the funding and getting underway with the duplication. But $700 million, the state says, is underdone. Again, the Liberals made an announcement about that without consulting the state government. Labor will work with the state, federal and state, together to ensure that we get the correct level of funding and that we also work together to get the best outcome for community.
And just last of all, the Drysdale Sports Precinct, we spoke to one of the co-coaches of the Drysdale Football Club yesterday, and they spoke about that announcement that took place. What does this mean? Because from what I understand, you've got a feasibility study included in that Foray Bellarine North swimming pool. Is that right?
Yes, look, importantly, this $3 million funding commitment from Labor will ensure that with the funds that Lisa Neville and the state government have put in, of $5 million, will enable three extra sporting fields. It will connect the whole precinct in Drysdale with pathways. It will have a new cricket pitch. It will have a new pavilion, which will mean that the community there, which is a growing community, can gather and connect with one another. So it is a great announcement in terms of the sporting precinct and the ability that if elected, we will begin and roll that project out together. The City of Greater Geelong are currently completing the master plan, and that will be done by June. So all the ducks will be lined up for that project to roll out, which is the way that I believe state and federal will work together, in the same way that we are funding a pool for Torquay. Now, the size of that pool, okay, there's an ability to have a look at that, but the key is that we have land set aside by the council, we have state and federal both committing to a level of funding that makes that project able to become a reality in first term of government. We're not just talking about it, we're actually doing it. So in relation to the funding for Drysdale, for a pool, first of all, we need a feasibility study. There's no point saying, oh yes, I'm fighting for a pool, without actually put the mechanisms in place to enable that to happen. So firstly, do the people of the Northern Bellarine want a pool? From what I have heard anecdotally, there is definitely desire for a pool, but we need to determine that in a feasibility study. Then where should it go? What should it include? How big should it be? And what other facilities could be included? And also a design of that pool. These are the things that need to be done. That requires a lot of community consultation, and feasibility study will kick this process off. So I'm not just about putting up signs, saying I'm fighting for something. What I'm about is getting the job done, is having a plan in place, is liaising with community and other levels of government to make sure we roll things out in a timely, structured way in line with community expectation.
Libby, thank you for being on the program. Always good to catch up. And as I said to Sarah, we're having our Corangamite Candidates Forum on the 30th of April. We hope to see you there, and all the very best as the campaign continues on. And hopefully we have an election date called soon.
Yes, I'm looking forward to knowing that election date too. It's very important that we get on and determine who is going to win so we can actually get on with doing the job of governing properly.
Good on
Thank you for your
Thanks,
time
Libby.
Today.
Good on you. Thank you. Libby Coker, they're the Labor candidate for Corangamite.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.